richness of everything that you and I could ever possibly need. And it's found in the consolation we receive from knowing that we're saved and we're part of the family of God, part of those children that are headed to heaven. Amen? Take your Bibles with me this morning just for a bit, if you would. Look with me in the book of Ephesians again. I know recently we were there. We're going to go back to Ephesians again. Look in chapter number 5. Chapter number 5, the book of Ephesians, if you will. And we're going to look at Paul's writing. Now, again, you know, we've talked about this so many times, and you've heard it probably from other sources besides me. But Paul talks about the positional in chapters 1 through 3, the position that we have in Christ. And he talks about that a lot, doesn't he? Chapters 1, 2, and 3, he talks about us being in Christ, in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. All of those things that it reminds us. And it's all talking about that we got saved and we got there. Okay? We're in Christ. But then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, chapter 4, 5, and 6, he talks about the practical side of Christianity. Somebody said this is where the rubber meets the road. You know, it's easy to talk about some things. It's easy to tell, okay, this, this, and this. But you got to get down to where it becomes everyday life. So Paul begins to describe some things in chapters 4, 5, and 6 about just living a Christian life. And I want you to look with me in chapter number 5, though, is where we're going to be more centered, if you will. And look in verse number 17. Start in verse number 17. Paul writes this and says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the day, and thank you for the good songs. Thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy that you extend to every one of us. I pray now you just add your blessings to everything that's said, everything that's done here this morning. Just help folks to see if they're not saved, they need to come and find salvation in Christ. And those that are saved, that we need to live up to that expectation. I pray now, God, just give us your grace again. Give us your wisdom. Give us some insight and understanding through the Word of God. And help us to be that kind of Christian that maybe this world is looking for. Let our life so shine to be an example, a great and marvelous, glowing example of you and what you do for men. And we'll thank you for it today in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this little thought. Let's talk about life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Because that's where we want to live. I'm going to tell you, you and I need to live in the Spirit. Amen. I mean, the Lord wants me and you to be spiritual people. As a matter of fact, you remember over in the book of Romans, when Paul is writing about us being saved in Romans chapter number 8, he talks about how that, you know, there's therefore now no condemnation of them which don't walk after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit, all right? And he says down there in verse number 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So right off the bat, you see, you've got to have the Spirit of God to be saved, amen? This is not something you can try through your fleshly man. Now, I'll be honest with you, all of us probably have tried it. And if you hadn't, well, you know, you're doing well. You probably got saved and realized better than I did. But I know somewhere along the line, I know a lot of folks that have said, I'll just turn over a new leaf. I'll be different. I'll act another way. I'll quit this and I'll start that. And in that, brother, there's nothing spiritual about that. That's flesh driven. That is us trying to do it. And that doesn't work. It just doesn't work at all. Paul talks about here, if you'll notice there, verse number 17, he said, you know, don't be unwise, but he said, you and I need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Can I tell you this first of all? The will of the Lord is for anybody that's not saved to get saved. Amen. God's not willing that any should perish, Peter writes. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? But if you'll notice through this chapter now, just real quick looking back, Paul says some things in this chapter. First of all, look here in verses number 8 and 12. Now, he's talking to folks that he says are in the Lord. Look in verse number 8. He said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." First of all, he says this, look, none of us should be walking in some way that is shameful. Look there in verse number 11. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. He said, let's not be shameful in our Christian walk. Don't you put any shame on the Lord, on His church, or on the saints of God that are there. You and I dare not put anything shameful on this body, right? He said, you shouldn't do that as a Christian. But notice this, he also says it, look in verse number 14. He said, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." He says, don't be asleep. Don't be sleeping on the job. Brother, you and I need to have our eyes open. We need to get our focus on, and we don't need to be hanging around asleep on the things of God. He said, be awake. Get stirred up. Get roused up. Don't be asleep. Don't be shameful. Don't be sleeping. And then notice what else he says in verse number 15. He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." He said, don't be senseless with your life. Don't be shameful, don't be sleeping, and don't be senseless. Well, then what should we do, preacher? He said, here's what you ought to be. Look in verse number 18. "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess." He said, but be filled with the Spirit. You and I are to be filled with the Spirit of God. When you get filled with the Spirit of God, it does some things for a person when they're filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I just tell you, every one of us don't walk around like we ought to in a full filling of the Spirit of God. We just don't have it all the time. Amen? You know how I can tell? Because, man, I've seen you out there on the highway and the way you drive. Somebody say amen right there. I've seen you over here at the drive-thru at McDonald's. And you've seen me, too, blowing my horn. Get out of my way. I'm getting my Big Mac. Amen, you know? I mean, that's the way we get. So that ain't very Spirit-filled, I can tell you that. You know, honking at the folks on the highway and waving them off and you know, trying to do all these things that we do. We get aggravated. We lose our Christianity, if you will, right? Sometimes we do. But that's not the way God wants us to live. Amen? You know why you do that? Because you're like me. You're still in this flesh. And that's why Paul has to admonish and remind the folks here. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice a few things that he says about when you're filled with the Spirit, when you get that Spirit-filled life, it makes a difference in the relationships that you have in this life. It'll make a difference in those relationships. And let's look at that. First of all, I noticed that it'll make a difference in your relationship with the Lord. It'll make a difference in your relationship with the Lord. Look at that, if you will, in verse number 19. He says, if you're filled with the Spirit, look what he says in verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, he said, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Amen? It'll make a difference in your relationship, in the relationship that you have, that you say that you have with God. When you have that right spiritual relationship that you ought to have with you and the Lord, it'll make a difference. What does it make you do, preacher? Well, first of all, here's what it will bring out. It will bring out some praise in your life. You see what he says? He says, speaking to each other. And coming across to each other. He says that you sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Brother, it'll make a difference in your life. Your life will be different in the praise aspect. You want to praise God for what He's done in your life. That's part of the relationship you and I ought to have as a spiritual person. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, what you're doing in my spiritual life. Thank you. Now, again, I've told you this before, we don't understand it all. We never will understand it all. We'll never get it all figured out, fashioned out, and made the way that we want to. But thank God you can look up and say, God, sometimes I don't know what you're doing, but thank you for it anyway. Amen. It will give you a life of praise. You'll be speaking and singing. And he said, to yourselves. Now, there's some folks that think that word where he says yourselves means to your own self. But I think it means kind of among ourselves. Other folks will see you and they'll know that you're praising God. I mean, can I tell you, it's all right when you come into church. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to say amen, that's a good thing. There's some folks that like to shout. There's some folks that weep. There's some folks that just wave a hand. There are folks that laugh. I mean, there's just all kinds of maybe emotional responses. But as long as it's praise unto God, I'll tell you that it's okay to do those things. Amen? It's okay. We ought to be doing every one of those things. Because in your relationship to God, it will bring out a praise. But not only that, it ought to be that it brings out a passion. It will bring out some passion. Listen to what he said. He said that you're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. He says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see where that's coming from? It's coming from your heart. It's coming from your heart. You know, I've seen people say, well, so-and-so can't sing very well. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter. If they're singing from their heart, they're not singing to you anyway. They're singing to the Lord. Amen? Amen. You know, Brother Bagwell was here with Revival here a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about he thought he could do a good job singing in the shower. Amen? Hey, I bet every one of us think we can do it. I can get in there and, buddy, I can cut her loose and belt her out in the shower, and it sound good to me. But Sister Lynn might not think so sometimes through the house. But hey, I'm just telling you, we ought to be making, it ought to be coming with a passion. It ought to be whatever you're doing when you're praising, when you're worshiping, it ought to be from your heart. There's a lot of folks that can hit every note and they can make every song sound the way that all of that kind of stuff. That's great if you can do that. That's fine. But buddy, hey, let me tell you, when something's coming from your heart, folks know the difference. Amen. You're singing because you love Him. You're singing and praising Him. You're just making that melody. You're making some kind of whatever in your heart. And brother, it's sounding good to God in heaven. Amen? Because that's exactly what the Bible says that we're to do. It ought to be done with some passion. Oh, listen, as I say, there's some folks, I've seen them, they could sing perfectly, but there's no heart in it. There's no oomph in it. There's no nothing. I'm telling you, when somebody is saying, I just want to praise, I just want to sing, I just want to lift up the name of the Lord, thank God He is glorified in that. And that's what you do when you're walking in that spiritual relationship between you and God. It's in praise. It's in passion. And it will be to the one person that everything makes the difference with. You see what he said? He said, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'm not doing it for you. I'm not singing. I'm not praising. I'm not worshiping to impress you or to make you think something of me. I'm doing it to Him. Amen? And that's the way that it all ought to be done. We're doing what we do, and we're doing it unto the Lord. Paul talks about it again. He said, well, everything that you do, do it as unto the Lord. If you're at work, do your job as unto the Lord. If you're singing, sing unto the Lord. If you're teaching, teach. If you're preaching, preach unto the Lord. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it with everything you've got, and do it unto the Lord. Amen. Because we're not here to impress anybody. We're not here to put on a show. Now, listen, I'm sure there are a lot of places, and I'm not judging any of you, but if they're there for show, they're in it for the wrong reason. As I say, some people have beautiful voices. Some preachers have great eloquence and wisdom and ability and able as speakers to do a whole lot better than I am. But can I tell you this? Thank God, they can't nobody love God like me and you do. Amen. That's what the Lord's looking for. As I say, it's your relationship with Him. It's your relationship with Him. People, a lot of times, probably thought Brother Ronnie was telling us this morning about reading some verses in the Bible about Abraham in the Old Testament. And Abraham, there's probably a bunch of them thought he was some kind of nut. I mean, what in the world is he doing? If you go over in the book of Hebrews, it says that God spoke to him and told him that he would show him, he would give him a land, he said, which God says, which I will tell thee of. You know what that means? That means Abraham didn't know where he was going. But you know what he did? He just listened to God. And he went to where God said go. And he worshiped where God said worship. You remember what he told those men after Isaac was born? And he said to the men that were with him that brought their animals and all the stuff for the sacrifice, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and we will worship and come again unto you. Hey, he was like, Y'all stay back here because y'all might get in the way of the worship. I don't know who they were or what they were. They were just servants. But, hey, do you know sometimes people can get in your way? You just go ahead and serve God and do it with the passion. Do it with the praise. Do it to the one person that it matters to more than anything, and that's to the Lord himself. Amen. Amen? So being a spiritual person, I mean, having this life that you should have in the Spirit, it is reflected in your relationship with God. Not only that, it's reflected in your relationship with your circumstances, with the circumstances of your life. Look what Paul says there in verse number 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see what he said there? This is in your circumstance. Well, what about, well, preacher, there's sometimes, well, listen to what Paul said. He didn't say there was times you couldn't. Look what he said. Giving thanks, how? Always. Always. Just at whatever the time is, it's a good time to have a right relationship with God. It's a good time to worship. It's a good time to pray. It's a good time to get into the fellowship of God's people. It doesn't matter what the time. And sometimes, you know, we use that as an excuse. Well, I've got to do this, or I need to do that, or I should be here, and I shouldn't be coming, all of that stuff. Can I tell you, Paul said, just give thanks, just always, at any time. Whatever the time is, there's never a wrong time to praise God. Well, preacher, you ain't been up at the hospital and seen. Yeah, I have. I've been there. I've prayed with folks in the waiting rooms. I've prayed with them in their rooms. I've prayed with them at the funeral homes, at the gravesite, at the birth of babies, at the death of a saint. Brother, I've been there. You probably have too. And I'm telling you, it's always a good time to give thanks unto God. There's always a good time. Amen? Look, he says, don't worry about giving thanks. Give thanks, he says, at all times. But not only does he say give thanks at all times, he says give thanks in all things. Isn't that what he said? Giving thanks always for all things. Wow. God, thank you. You know, we're good and quick when God does something. God, thank you for giving me a new job or for helping me meet this need or for taking care of this situation. We're good at that. But do you know there are other times when you just need to thank God, even when it doesn't go good? You remember Job, and Job is going through some of the trials of his life, and he's lost all of his kids, he's lost all of his animals, he's lost his fortune, he lost all that stuff. You know what he did? He said when Job heard all that stuff, he just bowed down and worshiped God and gave him thanks and praise. And his wife came to him and said, she said, what are you doing this for? She said, shouldn't you just curse God and die? And he looked at her and said, you speak as the foolish one. That's foolish talk, in other words, he said. And you know what? Well, hey, guilty right here a lot of times, right? But he said, should we just receive good things at the hand of God, not bad things sometimes? When you receive bad things, you know what you're supposed to do? Give thanks in all things. Amen. Listen, I mean, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I can tell you this, that's what the Bible says to do. And you know what? I think that's just what we ought to do. Amen? That's what we ought to do. He said, in all things, we're supposed to give thanks. But look at this. He says, in doing this, in your relationship, in those circumstances, you're to give thanks at all times, in all things, or for all things. And he says, and to all three of those in the Holy Trinity. Listen to what he said, how he says this. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, look, give thanks unto God and the Father. That's the first one. Give it to God and the Father. He said, but not only that, give thanks. He says, unto the Son, to Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to, God, I thank you. Jesus, I'm thanking you too. And you know what he says? And you're doing it in the Spirit. So really, you're giving thanks for all three of those personages in the Godhead. Amen? I mean, and that's in the relationship that you're going to have with your circumstances in this world. We're going to get into the verse tonight, and it's a few verses actually tonight in Philippians chapter number 4, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But if you go back and you look before that in verses 10, 11, and 12, now that's verse 13 where Paul says that, but in verses 10, 11, and 12, Paul begins to talk about some things that he's gone through. He said, I know how to do without, and I know how to have plenty. He goes through a whole lot of little options. Like I say, we'll talk about that tonight. But I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Amen? You know, I guess one of the more well-known stories, and I think I've told it to you before. Here's Spurgeon, a great preaching man over in England, and he's going throughout a community and visiting some of the folks that come to his church, and he comes up to a little widow woman's house. And as he comes up to the widow woman's house, he's pretty quiet, and he comes up from the back side of her house, and as he's getting ready to go around the corner, he can see in her window. And as he looks in the window, he sees there she is sitting at her table, and all she has to eat is just a small piece of bread and a little cup of water. He said he could see that, and she's there with her head bowed, and she's praying and thanking God for what she's got. And she's praying, and as she gets ready to get through, and she's going to eat this little bread and drink this little bit of water, she looks at it and she says, God, I thank you for all of this and heaven too. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the way you are. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. God didn't promise you a mansion down here. He didn't promise you a bank full of money. He didn't promise you a prominent position. He didn't promise you fame and all of the things that go with. He didn't promise that. But thank God he said, I'll be with you. I'll go with you all the way till the end, no matter what your circumstance. Amen? Whatever circumstance you're in. Paul said, I have found that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Amen? I mean, listen. Most of us are so stinking ill-contented with things. Right? Don't we live in that day? Amen? Hey, they come out with an iPhone 17. They'll line up to get them. Amen?
Well, I just got a 16. I better get rid of that. It's old stuff now.
Isn't that amazing? Don't y'all even look at mine. Amen. I've looked at Alvin's too. Amen. Huh? You know, somebody, well, you need to get with the times. Well, praise God, time is passing on by. Hey, sometimes, you know, we just get in some of these tizzies and some of these, you know, oh, we've got to have, we need to do all this stuff. Brother, just don't worry about your circumstances. God can take care of this too. He says, here, look. When it comes to walking and living in the Spirit, having a life in the Spirit, he said, in relationship to your circumstances, he said, just give thanks always for all things. Give it to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Praise them for what they're doing, where you are, what's going on in your life. Amen? Amen. All right, look at one last thing, if you will, with me. He says, in talks about in your relationship with God and in your relationship with your circumstances, but also he talks about your relationship with other believers in the Lord. Look what he says in verse number 21. And he really gets into a whole tear on this. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourself. Well, can I tell you right there, boy, a lot of folks say, we're with you, preacher, till you get to that. We're drawing a line. You know, that's the way we are, right? Oh, well, you done got to meddling in my business now, right? Well, when we talk about submitting, we ought to learn how to submit ourselves. And everybody say, well, you know, I agree. We ought to learn how to submit ourselves, but that's just to the Lord. No, it's not. You better listen to what Paul said. Paul said, a spiritual person, a person that's filled with the Spirit of God. Look back up there in verse 18. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he didn't stop there. He went on and said every one of these words, if you will. And you'll notice that the punctuation marks are semicolons and commas and all of those things. And he comes right down to this place where he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then finally he puts a period on that, the end of that sentence, right? He's put that, he said, this is part of that being filled with the Spirit. You'll learn how to submit yourselves one to another. And like I say, I know a lot of folks jump on that next verse. Oh, go hammer that, preacher. Tell these wives how to submit to their own husbands. Well, I'll agree with you. That's what he does say. But guess what, fellas? He says, husbands, love your wives. He said, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You ought to be willing to die for your wife, sir. Amen. That's what he says. He said, then you ought to love your kids and raise them. All of that's in there. But I think the real push of the whole section there is this, is where he says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then he talks about, as I say, wives and husbands. But look what he says in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. He said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Oh, let me tell you. We're supposed to be submitted. And first and foremost, we're to submit ourselves unto the Lord himself. Amen. Shake your head there a little bit, because I'm telling it right. We're supposed to submit ourselves to the Lord. First and foremost, that's it. But he says, submitting yourselves one to another. One to another, what's he talking about? Well, first of all, he talks about the method of this relationship. And it shows that you and I can learn how to be accommodating to our brothers and sisters in Christ. How do you do that? Well, the method is this. Submit yourself. The Bible tells us for us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. The Bible tells us that we're to prefer our brother before us. The Bible tells us, again, we're supposed to be in this place of submitting ourselves one to another. This is a fellowship. It's not a dictatorship. It's not I'm over you and you're under me. That's not what this is. We're to submit ourselves one to another. And that's the method of this idea in the relationship with each other. Brother, it'll show itself, as I say, as having a spirit of accommodation. You will want to accommodate your brother or your sister. You're to prefer them. They are there before you. Thank God that's the sincere spirit of this submitting yourself one to another. You're supposed to submit yourself. But notice, he says, the mode of this, the method is submit. The mode is this, one to another. Again, as I say, it's not where there's some big I's and little U's. It's where we're all the same thing in Christ. When Paul talks about some of these other things, he talks about, you know, the body, how that the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, it is like your body. And you can't say to any of your body parts, I don't need this, but I do need that. You can't say that to anything. Amen? You think you can do without your little finger? Yeah, you can't. Some of you say, oh, preacher, I could probably do without my little toe. No, you couldn't. It helps you in your balance. It helps you in your walk. It helps you stand up straight. It does a whole lot of things. You need everything that God has given you. You need every bit of it. And because of that, your body works in function and in unity and in a certain way, in a together fashion. That's the way the body of Christ is. There's nobody in the church body. There's nobody in the family of God. We need each other. Amen. We're to submit ourselves one to another, even to the what we think of as the lowest, even as those as we think of that can't do much of anything. Oh, we say, well, you know, we could probably do without them. Brother, let me tell you, God doesn't want me and you to do without them. We need to submit ourselves one to another. It's a submitting method, and the mode of it is one to another. But the measure of it is this, in the fear of God. You see that? He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here's how you do that. You submit yourself unto God because you understand, hey, there's a God that you and I need to fear. There's a God on this looking over this earth. There's a God. You and I need to have a reverential fear of God. People today, they don't fear God. They're not scared of what God's doing. I've seen them out here wagging their fingers in the air and say, well, if there's a God, let him strike me down. Brother, I'm telling you, I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid to get out there and say, well, God, you made me in the wrong way. I'm really something else other than what. That's wrong, friend. You need to wake up and understand you live in a place where God is still in control. He's still in control of every bit of it. He's still supreme and superior over all else. And we're to live in the fear of God. Paul writes in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12 toward the end of it. He said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Man, it ought to shake us up and wake us up to realize, man, God is looking for us to submit ourselves. But the world is so prideful, and even probably some Christians, so filled with pride, so haughty, and so lifted up. I'm daring God this, I'm pointing out that, and I don't care what God says. Friend, can I tell you, one of these days you're going to stand there before Him, and you'll worry about it then. It'll be a concern for you then. He said, you're to submit yourselves one to another. And you're to do it in the fear of God. In the place of respecting what God has said. You ought to respect His word. You ought to respect His house. You ought to respect His people. You ought to respect the men of God that He's put in your life. There's a lot of things you ought to respect. And can I tell you, there's a lot of folks that don't. We was talking about it here the other day about how people don't worry about anything anymore. When I was growing up, this is another one of them old-timer stories, right? When I was growing up, you could go probably by any church you wanted to in this area, and the doors were unlocked. People were afraid to go in and steal from a church. I mean, they had enough fear of God about them to know. I told y'all a long time ago when I first come here, there were some folks that lived down here below the church, and that guy was not saved. Matter of fact, he probably drank pretty heavily, probably in a big mess, you know. But anyway, he come up here one night. We'd been having some trouble with the church building, and it seemed like some people got on the property and was trying to mess with stuff. And all that. He come up one day, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "don't worry about it. I know there'd been some folks coming by." He said, "And I know." He said, "Guess what?" He said, I got a 2-barrel 12 gauge down here, and I think that can take care of some of them if anything comes up." Now, he wasn't saved, but he's one of them from the old school that said, "I believe folks ought to respect the house of God." He said, "Now, it ain't me. I don't go to church, and I'm not. I'll tell you that. As a matter of fact, he'd tell you his sinner. But you know what? He had enough respect for the house of God. He knew better than that." And I think we've got some folks today that say they're saved, and they ain't got no more sense than that. Amen? I mean, hey, you're supposed to respect these things that God has done. You're supposed to, I'll tell you, I had one of my friends one day, and I don't know, he was come by the house or something, and he started to let out some big cuss word or something, and he looked at me. He said, "Your dad's a preacher, ain't he?" Now, this is back before I was preaching, but he said, I said, "Yeah." He said, "I can't say that around here." "Why?" "Because your daddy's a preacher. I don't need to be talking." I said, "Well, my daddy ain't out here." He said, "It don't matter. He lives here." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got enough sense to know better than that." Amen? I'm just telling you, folks used to have some respect and some sense and some fear of God. And today, they just soon wag their hand and flaunt their selves out in front of God and say, "I dare you to do something." Can I tell you, one day, they'll stand before the Lord, and there'll be a lot of them that say, "Ooh, I wish I hadn't have done that or said that." Amen. And I tell you, there might be some of us that'll say, "God, I sure do wish I had minded my mouth and minded my manners and minded my mind a little bit better than what I did while I was here." Amen. In the fear of God, we're supposed to submit ourselves one to another. And Paul says, look, this is how this relationship works. You have a relationship with God. You have a relationship in your circumstances. You have a relationship to the other people that you're around. And in that relationship, you're supposed to live a Spirit-filled life. But do we? But do we? Or do we just let anything go and everything go and everything's okay? Brother, we need to realize, hey, that we're responsible for some things. And Paul, as I say, when you read this chapter, he tells you, don't do these things. Don't be shameful. And don't be sleeping. And don't be senseless. He said, don't be those things. But do be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Where's your life this morning? Where's your life? Are you Spirit-filled? Are you just spiritually starved? Amen? Somebody said this, a Spirit-filled person will be humbly grateful, but a worldly, fleshly person will be grumbly hateful. Amen? And that's about the truth, isn't it? I'm just telling you, friend, we need to see where we stand. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song this morning. If you're here and you've never known Jesus as a Savior, you've never trusted Him, be a good day to find out. If you need to come pray about some stuff, be a good time to come on. If you need to just get in contact between you and God and say, God, I want to walk, I want to be, I want to act in a different way than the rest of this world, would you just come on this morning? While we all stand, if you would. While we all stand. If you want to come pray, come on. While some are coming and praying now. But let me just ask you, hey, is your heart right with God? What page is that, Brother Ronnie?
357.
Page 357.